We are on the third of second triad of Songs of Ascent. And today's psalm is Psalm 125, which is about security. When you think about security, William Webster Dictionary defines this way, a freedom from danger, fear, or anxiety. And I don't know whether the things have changed from the past years before 9/11 and after 9/11. That's one of the most shocking factor we all felt is there is no place safe. We cannot even feel secure just because we live in United States of America. And even good part of Orange County as well. So when you think about what makes us feel secure, these are some things: having a secure job or consistent income, and having sufficient fund in the bank, having no debt, and mortgage and school loans under control, having a planned savings retirement program, and having good health and car, house, and life insurance, or having a dependable, caring network of family and friends, and living in a gated community or safe neighborhood. I think I've lived in Irvine many years also too. They're considered as one of the safest city in the States. But do we really feel unshakably secure when we have all this? The answer is no. These things all change, and they cannot and give us unshakable security. And looking for unshakable security, the question is, how do we find confidence that we'll be okay because of God, regardless of what happens in this world? Even 9/11, things like that happen again. Having confidence that we will be accepted by God no matter how weak, how broken we feel in our faith journey. Yesterday, I usually don't go anywhere on Saturday because of just my, not only just content preparation for sermon, but prayerful, my commitment to God. And so Saturdays, I don't usually go anywhere. But because of the news that my mom had a lump in her throat, and they need to see a doctor to find out what it is. And, you know, September 1st, and then MRI pointed out that 2.4 centimeter deep in her throat. I'm scared to death, to be honest. If you remember, my brother, who's living with my mom, has given this sudden death anytime he has certain kind of a heart problem, sudden death will occur. So I've been feeling very insecure getting any phone calls from my nephew or my sister-in-law. Whenever their name comes up on my phone, I'm full of fear. So Psalm 125 is a pilgrim song about finding unshakable security in God. Do you remember August 27th today? It's supposed to be, as Taco, our worship leader, mentioned, the first day in the afternoon, 2 p.m. service at supposedly Taft Avenue service, and with 6 months contract. We get to stay here. So there's a much relief. But remember, I mean, some of you guys probably didn't have much of awe. We could adjust it or not. But at least for those people who have a little kids and their nap time, or people who are working overnight shift, the graveyard shift, afternoon service was nonsensical. It's not going to happen. And from my point of view, stability, as I'm going on a sabbatical, church moving without even long-term thing in the afternoon, how do we invite, become vibrant community again, invite our unchurched friends? If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, who wants to go? That insecurity was there. So with that in mind, I think God has given this, the merciful provision of this text. So let's read Psalm 125, a song of ascent. This is the word of the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away evil with evildoers. Peace upon Israel. You see, there is a theme of immovable, unshakable security. And this is a triumph psalm as the third triad. And it gives much of assurance. And I was so thankful that God gave this particular psalm on today. And as I am facing uncertainty the next, 4 months as well, I will share why I decided to keep it on. But what does it mean to trust and find unshakable security in God? Practically, through this psalm, there's at least three things emerge out of this. The first one is it means God's it means to trust in God's unchanging character even when everything else may change. We need to pay attention to what the scripture says first. Otherwise, we will jump into the conclusion. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. God is not Mount Zion here. The first description, which cannot be moved, but abides. We are like Mount Zion if we trust in the Lord. But and yet, verse 2 brings the source of that immovable strength and security. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. If you go to Israel, I mean, it's geographically, it is a city that is has been acting over the history of Israel of fortitude, of fortress, because these mountains surrounding Jerusalem became like a secure walls, and it became visual aid for the Hebrew pilgrims every year when they traveled to Jerusalem. It became visual aid for them, for security, for immovability, and stability. Who are secure? Once again, the first thing that we need to remember is those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. But we don't work up to become strong enough and secure enough, we become like immovable mountain. Not because those who trust in themselves, in their sources, because it's not because our faith is immovable or we are resourceful enough to be strengthened all by ourselves, but because our God is immovable in his unchanging character. It's human to be fickle because of our depravity of our heart. So even past several weeks looking back, I wish I could say to you, I had no doubt God's going to answer like this. Like a parting of the Red Sea will happen. We'll give high fives to each other. Just watch. No, there are times that I doubted. There are times that I felt discouraged. There are times that I feel depressed. And even past 2 years of just difficult season like that. No one can have faith that is rock solid all by themselves. It is God who gives us that security, immovability. Do you remember Philippians 2, 12 and 13? The Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you just take that verse out of the context, it feels like, oh, okay, once you receive, it's yours, and God has given you freely and grace. Now it's up to you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Otherwise, you might lose it. The idea of the backsliding people and losing their salvation, all those things came out of this. But verse 13 is actually encircles that person's faith, working, saving faith. Why? For it is God who is at work, both in will, in work, according to his good pleasure. In other words, work out your salvation because God is the one who enables you. He is working in you. His sovereign grace will never let you go. In the same way, we need to think about, how do I find my security? It's all about where we are. Geographical reason is more important than the way we feel. In other words, positionally, everyone who belongs to Christ, belongs to God, is immovable. Because of God's immovable covenant promises, love for us is there. But as we reveal this more and more, what we will find out, some of the believers live like a poor people who are just eating crackers every day on a just glorious cruise ship, thinking that we are the only one. I mean, we have to buy and earn those things, but and yet everything belongs to them. Once you bought the ticket, once you are on the cruise ship, what am I saying? Every single one of us today, not because of our strong faith or accomplished the things that we had to do as a, you know, Christians, then we will have an unshakable security. But every single one of us, if we truly believe and put everything put ourselves in Christ and what he has done, immovable rock, God he is, mountain that he is, we could have security. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Notice the difference. The mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but the Lord says, my steadfast love shall not depart from you forevermore. My covenant of peace shall not be removed. The second meaning is that it means to trust in. Sorry about that mistake. I think when I'm editing the stuff, and I think in your online outline, it's correct in there. It means to trust in God's trustworthy promises even when everything else may be unreliable. What's the promise? The scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. We don't even understand what the scepter, we've seen in like some old movies, but it's a symbol of authority. A sovereign, monarch will carry that. In other words, the wicked people, wickedness of the reign and authority, momentarily it might happen, it will not last long. That's God's promise, trustworthy promise. And then he will remember that his goodness to us in verse 4 and 5. So the God in his sovereignty allows the wicked to prosper momentarily, but it is only a small part of the big picture. Story of Job, Joseph, and Daniel illustrate that. And as I mentioned, God's promise is the wicked will not last long. Those people who don't care about God and God's holiness, they live their life, and they seem to prosper, and they seem to be successful in their promotion or all that. But do not be deceived. God promises. Psalm 37, verse 7, 10 to 11, elaborates on that. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Why? A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for him, they will not be found. But the meek, the person who breaks own strong self-will and surrenders to the Lord, the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. In instable time, on insecure times, we may feel three things. The discouragement, and feel like giving up. I sure had past 2 years, many times, in the middle of the night. Compromise our ways and values. So maybe I should just, that's what it means, that scepter will not last long, because even the majority of the righteous, the Israelites at times, bowed to Baal. Even the Christians, when things are going so bad and everyone is staying dead, that we could compromise ourselves. God will not allow that. God will continue to encourage people who are remnants, who are faithful, in other words. We can, this is the essential message, we can find unshakable insecurity in God God's immovable character and promises by full trust. Eugene Peterson, the book that we're following is a long direction in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. He writes this, "And as we learn that, we learn to live out our feelings about God, but by fact..." I'm sorry. Let me do it again. "And as we learn that, we learn to live not by our feelings about God, but by the facts of God. I refuse to believe my depressions. I choose to believe in God. If I break a leg, I do not become less a person. My wife and children do not repudiate me. Neither when my faith fractures or feelings bruise does God cast me off and reject me. My feelings are important for many things. They are essential and valuable. They keep me aware of much that is true and real, but they tell me next to nothing about God or my relation to God. My security comes from who God is, not from how I feel. Discipleship is a decision to live by what I know about God, not by what I feel about Him or myself or my neighbors." So true, isn't it? And third and last meaning of that, it means to trust in God's grace and shalom for our daily security in everyday life. And notice what the psalmist's assurance turns into prayer. It's a heart cry. "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." Let's be very clear on the meaning of the first utterance of prayer. "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good." In the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, what it means to be good is not our moral efforts to be better than some other people. No. Even Abraham's faith was counted as good to God, counted as righteous to God. So which means, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good," doesn't mean, "Lord, I've been trying to live a very moral life these days, so I'm good. Bless me." So the one definition is those who are good is actually not moral people comparatively, but those who belong to God by showing their obedience and trust in the Lord as a sign of their real saving faith. And God's goodness, "be good," is God's goodness to His people, including the providential goodness. Sometimes it doesn't look good, but God has purpose and wisdom in that seemingly doesn't look good, but it turns out to be good. And Joseph's story was that. Joseph was sold as a slave, but God uses him as a prime minister, the second in command in Egypt, to save not only Israelites, to give the pathway of salvation for the coming believers for the New Testament as well. The foreshadowing picture of who Christ is. And God's grace, God's goodness to His people is sufficient for each of His children. Have you ever prayed when you're going through a really tough time, "I just can't take it anymore? Lord, I trust Your goodness, that my pain is not meaningless. And thank You that Your grace is sufficient for me. I'll say it again, Lord. Thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. Then we will find unshakable security. Psalm 37, verse 5 to 6 gives us the picture of what it looks like to trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. 2 Corinthians, as I mentioned, 12:9, the Apostle Paul is asking the Lord to remove the thorn in his body. We don't know exactly what it is. It's some kind of an ailment. Verse 9 of chapter 12, but he said to me, Christ said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The people who refuse to do that, according to C.S. Lewis, in the due time, what verse 4 and 5 is saying is mainly this. C.S. Lewis poignantly said, there will be two kinds of people in the end, those that will say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God will say, thy will be done. And their will is heading toward the eternal damnation in hell. And lastly, the ending of this psalm, peace upon Israel, is not absence of, I mean, for those of you who heard me saying this over and over, redundant, bear with me. The word shalom, Hebrew word shalom, it's more than absence of conflict or war, but it's wholeness, peace, well-being, and security. And this is the way that Jesus greeted to his beloved disciples. Shalom. Peace be unto you. And peace upon Israel. And I say shalom to you and your family. Each one of you today. Let's remember what God's goodness is in Romans 8, verse 26. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Even painful things. Even things that we couldn't understand. For those who are called according to His purpose. To those who are good. This is the definition. For those who are called according to His purpose. I have more, but I'm going to stop here. Let's close. Father, thank you for this merciful provision in Psalm 125. And we pray that you will make it reality, not just a person who was just eating crackers on the cruise ship, thinking that they have to earn something to eat the lobster and steak and enjoy that buffet. Help us to enjoy today this unshakable security in God. Because you are immovable. Because you make us immovable in our security. you know, personal response, I'm going to ask you to put your palms together in front of you, between you and God. Let's pray this together. Lord, unshakable security is in you, not in us. Our faith is too weak and fickle. So today, this morning, we put our full trust in your hands. My life is in your hand. Our family's finance and health is in your hand. My mom's health problems is in your hand. Our kids' future is in your hand. My reputation, my career, my significance is in your hand. My anxiousness, my doubts, my fickleness in discipleship, they are even in your hand. Our uncertainty as Crossway family is in your hand. Surround us with your immovable character and promise as we put our trust in you fully. In Jesus' name. Amen.